Hi. Welcome to another episode of Baby Steps. The first steps to understanding the paradox of parenting. It's all about your children, 0 to 18 plus years. I am your host, Danielle Ochieng, and I'm excited to be back here. If you are new, karibu sana, meaning welcome very much. And for my always followers, asante sana, thank you very much, and I love you. But before we start, as is our norm, drum roll! It's time for another Did You Know fact. So, did you know that holding babies actually changes their DNA? Studies show that children who have had low physical contact as infants end up with DNA cells that are less mature than usual, which can result in delayed growth and development. Meaning, loving contact is way more crucial and scientific than we ever imagined. So, in the last episode, I had a teenager, a girl, talk to us about the challenges of navigating through that age, in this era, and whether it was media, peers, parents, self-image, you name it. Maura talked about it all, and yes, I have learned. I have got you guys used to shorter episodes. Next time, I will break it down into bite-sized pieces. But if you haven't listened to it, please go back. If you have a teenager or a preteen, trust me, whatever she said during those episodes, that episode actually is really going to help you. So, we were to have a boy child teenager next. And that is still in the works, don't worry, and please don't throw stones. I promised and I keep my word. But I thought it was best to put it on a hold till I talk a little about this topic. Because, based on what was said last time, yes, do go and look and listen to the last episode. I know it's long. You can listen for 15 minutes and take another break and continue for another 15 until you're done, because you are missing out. Anyway, here's a snippet from the last episode that provoked this one and made me realize I just need to put a pause before bringing the boy child on.
Many people come from dysfunctional families, so they were dealing with a lot of trauma from their various homes, and there was no break, there was no definite mental support system, that's the word. There was no support system in place where we were like given special attention or anything like that. And I think the main issue is, I heard you mention that there's guidance and counseling in schools. Yeah. But the reason why, I know somebody could be asking, or like a parent could be asking, if there's guidance and counseling, then can't they just go there? But the issue is, it's not a safe space. It's really not a safe space, because personally, I know that the counselor in our school mm-hmm. will go and tell the administration whatever you tell them. If it's, for example, that you're having a mental breakdown and you're dealing with it by self-harming, which I will get to in a few minutes, mm-hmm. it becomes a whole problem. So you get in trouble for opening up, and you're just wondering, like, now what do I do? So it's mm-hmm. the better option to just die with your issues, because wherever I turn, it's just another problem. And the self-harm that I've taught myself to console myself, quote unquote, is something I learned from my peers on social media, because those are the only people that I can open up to without feeling judged. And so,
So this was from what Maura talked about last week. And I was like, I think I need to talk about it a bit today, because I'm passionate about children and adolescents and young people's mental and emotional health especially. And that's a field I work in greatly. I was like, this just can't go by, and I think we just need to talk about it a little. So there's some statistics I read by psychiatrists conducted by the Center for Adolescent Health at Murdoch Children's Research Institute in Melbourne, Australia. And it stated that one in every 12 teenagers self-harms, and it is mostly girls. And this is mostly from 15 to 24 years. But more evidence shows that children even as young as 5 years have been found to self-harm. Exposure to the world. It's just how it is. So Maura from the previous episode mentioned that one of the most common ways that teens harm themselves is through cutting themselves, and they do it with a sharp object like a blade. There are actually other forms of self-harm, and that includes burning oneself. Yes, the kids that do that, banging or hitting themselves or objects. Kids who punch too much at a wall, so they just get those bruises on their hands and feel pain. Yes, that's a form of self-harm. And there's also other higher forms like poisoning or drug overdose. So where do you check if you're wondering if your kid is self-harming? And first of all, a disclaimer before you go check, please don't, they are people, okay? So with rights and feelings. So don't go and strip naked or beat you or start pulling off their clothes. No. Find a wise way. Check their hands, their wrists, their thighs, their stomach. Those are mostly the places you'd find a teenager self-harm. So my advice is that you check if your child is doing that. Their hands, wrists, thighs, and stomach, mostly those areas. So why do they self-harm? You may be asking. I hope you're asking. If you're not asking, I will ask and I will answer. So, I know it's a serious topic. So, okay. One reason Moran mentioned that they do it is for them to deal with internal emotional struggles externally with a hope that they can numb the internal pain by enhancing the external one. What am I trying to say? For the teens, obviously COVID happened, so I haven't been with many of them physically. But the few teens I have seen with cuts, and ask them why. Why would you do this? And just like, you're ruining your beautiful skin. They're like, well, when the pressure in my head gets too much, when I cut myself, now I have to focus on the physical pain, which means I'm not focusing too much on the many problems I have to deal with in my life. So that is what one of the girls once told me. So it's a way of just diverting. I think that's the word to use, diverting the pain. So it doesn't mean by that boys are not doing it, because there's another study by King's College London, which followed young people from the ages of 15 to 29 years, from 1992 to 2008. That is a long time. That's a longitudinal study. And they found that out of 1,802 respondents of that age group, 149 of them reported self-harm. And of those, 6% were boys and 10% were girls. So please be concerned for your sons too. It's not that they're exempt from it. And the reasons why they cited self-harm, and I quote, a combination of hormonal changes during puberty, brain changes in the mid-teens, with the final development of the prefrontal cortex, the brain area associated with planning, personality expression, and moderating behavior. And of course, environmental factors such as peer pressure, emotional difficulties, and family tensions appeared to be key factors. Believe it or not, Mora mentioned all these in the last episode so accurately. I am so proud of you, Mora, wherever you are. Maybe it's because you're a teenager, but yes, I'm still so proud that you accurately captured this. And parents, again, I will insist, if you don't listen to that episode, do listen to it. So your child could be clinically depressed for one reason or the other. They're really anxious, so they're feeling unloved and unwanted. And what the quote I just read, and it had a lot of scientific terms, is just that during adolescence is when they're struggling a lot with self-identity. And truth is, even many of us as adults don't even know who we are. That's why we struggle with so much peer pressure and fitting in and wanting to lose ourselves, trying to be like other people. So imagine that starts around teenagehood. And if we don't help them navigate through that, they will continue with self-harm and probably even go to extreme cases. So that's why they self-harm. And that's why I thought, and you've got to deal with this topic. But there is great news. Now, by the time the participants in these studies became adults, the self-harm rates dropped drastically. And by 29 years, less than 1% still indulged in it. But, there's one researcher who is key to point out that this should not deceive us into thinking that self-harm is a phase that children will grow out of, because some don't grow out of it. The remaining 1%, and even during this teenagehood, it gets very intense, and some of them have cuts that can take them to hospital. And even though many of them do not report, like, oh my goodness, I've cut myself, I might bleed to death, let me go to the hospital, because you'll be asked why, and it will be a problem. So they choose to deal with it in one way or the other. But it's also important for us to know that it's not a passing phase, because these kids are 100 times more likely than the general population to commit suicide. So please do not ignore it. Suicide is the third leading cause of death among young people from adolescence going into middle adulthood.
So, Danielle, what if I found out my kid has been self-harming? What do I do?
C, seek medical help. Yes, get a counseling psychologist or therapist who specializes in child and adolescent mental health. Why I'm saying that is because when somebody deals with everything, it's very difficult for them to understand what a child is going through, or the adolescent in this case. And let them help your child, because the research I mentioned found an association between, this is scary, or should scare us, there's an association between self-harm and eventual suicide. But it doesn't mean it will result in suicide, but there are very, very high possibilities that it will lead in it. Whether it's attempted or succeeded, we need to take this thing seriously. Like, it's honestly not a joke. If it's a third cause of death among young people, I think we really should be concerned. In fact, there was a video that was going around, I think it was last year. I don't know if you've seen it, but I know here in Kenya, there was a video that was going around of this mother who was just crying. It was a mental health thing, and she just, like, she found her son hanging on the roof. And it's the daughter who found it. And she was traumatized. She's like, how did I miss this? You know, I didn't see this coming. So please, parents, it could be any of us. And I do these episodes because I genuinely care about the young people, because these are the people I deal with. And we can't be silent to what they're going through. And it can't just be one person or their teachers or the psychologists who are doing it. It has to be a communal thing. Help people spread this episode. The parents become more aware. So, okay, back to track. So you've got a mental health professional. But that is not all. Actually, before that, please don't force your child to go for therapy. You may see that they're harmed, but you're like, you're going to go see a therapy. Believe you me, you will waste your money. A child knows what they want, especially at teenagehood. So don't force them. Bring it up in a nice way. Just say, I've seen this and I'm concerned. And I don't know if you want to talk to me about it. If not, I can get you help. Somebody who will not be partial and take my side or daddy's side, or your side, but will listen to you and help you, and then show me how I can support you. It's so much better than telling them you are going to go for therapy whether you like it or not. So you've got the help, right? You've got a professional and your child is for it. What can you do as a parent? Because it is a joint effort. At the end of it, the therapist has usually maximum 1 hour, 1.5 hours, 45 minutes with your child. The rest of their life, the rest of the week, they are with you. So it's majorly on what happens in the home, because they can do things that will help in the therapy. And if they go back home, things just go back to hell. So the first things first is, please don't shout or threaten their lives. Why am I saying this? Because I know it's probably worked in your days, but not as much now. Or maybe it actually even didn't work, because the suicide rates among adults, meaning your age, are actually very, very, very high. So if you find you've been doing it, please don't shame them, because they're already really struggling not to harm themselves, or actually not to kill themselves. I will use the exact terms because it's what's happening. They just want love and attention. They're not trying to kill themselves, by the way. They just need the love. They just need the attention. They just need the affirmation. Making them feel ashamed will only increase the likelihood of self-harm. Instead, connect with them. Communicate. Like Mora said, teens low-key was the exact words. Crave a relationship with their parents. They're not just being rebellious. They really want to connect with you. And she also said that reaffirm them. Don't get tired, because the world out here is tearing them down. Let them feel safe around and with you, so they won't hesitate to talk to you if they're experiencing any kind of trauma or troubles. And as she also mentioned, please, talk should not always turn into lectures. She says that's one of the reasons why your kids, first of all, will shut off completely as you're talking. And they will never come to you with something. It shouldn't always turn to lectures. Listen to them, understand them. When they need a lecture, once in a while. But believe you me, talk to them, they will listen. Let them know they're precious, whether it's boys or girls. Don't think when you're mwanaume, you know, in Kenya you say, oh, you're a man. No, please. Everybody was created with emotions. Even Jesus wept. Okay? I will keep doing that for reference of the Christians. So even the boys need it. Because self-identity and worth is usually such a big struggle. Take a trip down memory lane and remind them with evidence how amazing they have always been. The things that they've done that you're proud of, you know, when they took their first steps, when in school they gave their first speech, or, you know, they made their first artwork, or whatever it was, or they cleaned, you know, just take them down memory lane of how amazing they are. Talk about how powerful and how loving, because the relationship you have with them is the most powerful tool of influencing them for good. Believe you me, it is not church and all the great programs it has. It is not school and it's not counseling. You are the most powerful influencer for the good of their lives and their health. And also ensure your child is and feels like they're in a safe environment, both physically and emotionally, because that could be the cause of their distress. So if the home environment, I mean, you can't take them from a, if they're in a toxic home, you really can't take them but away from it, but you can tell them, you know what, I'm sorry that this is how it has to be at home, okay? But I want you to know daddy's here for you or mommy's here for you, no matter what. If you need any help, let me know and I'm going to seek that help for you. And I'm sorry this is the situation we are in. We hope it gets better, but I want you to know I'm here for you. Yes, if it's a physical, if there's somebody in the home who's abusing them and can leave, you know, like a relative, please let them leave. Sometimes kidnapping, rape, all these things happen from people who are just within our circles. So make sure the environment is safe. When it comes to the physical environment, take away sharp objects, especially razors and broken glass, because that's what they're using to self-harm, to cut themselves. If they are used to punching walls or banging their heads, you know, and getting those bruises, first of all, yes, they need help. They need that reassurance. And even as they're learning to calm down, give them strategies they can use. Maybe go for a walk. If they really need to punch something, let them punch into the pillow. You know, let them talk about it. Take them out into nature where they can scream their lungs out. Believe me, it's very relieving to do that thing. I've done it with my friends before. Just scream, you know, or just shout or whatever it is they need to do. Take a cold or hot shower, you know, relax, listen to music, something that will help them take away their mind, but also talk to them about their troubles. Let them know that they can trust is the most important thing. But I think for me, the top of it all is love and affirm them. Like, it's hard out here. It's hard. It's hard. We all know it's hard, even as adults, with all the media influence and even pressure in schools. Because I told you in the previous episode, taking their phones away is not the solution. Neither is switching off the Wi-Fi. But there's a lot of pressure. Because you may do all those things, but they'll go to school. They will still experience it and it will be worse. It's just love and affirm them. There's a saying that says, when you keep criticizing your kids, they don't stop loving you, they stop loving themselves. And three things remain. But above all this, the Bible says, is love. And if no one has told you today, or this week, or in the last 30 days or 90 days, that they love you, I want to tell you now that I love you. Danielle loves you. If you need to reach out to me for any reason, hit my inbox on babystepsbyd@gmail.com. D is D-double-E. babystepsbyd@gmail.com. And one last thing, my dear, dearly beloved parents and caregivers, I know you are most likely going through so much. And I know it's hard. And there's all these things that Danielle is saying, do with your kids. There's everywhere the media is pointing at you as parents. I know it's hard. And as much as it's primarily on us, back in the days, it took a whole village to raise a child. And I think we really need to go back there so that you don't feel overwhelmed. Back then, I don't think our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents felt overwhelmed. So do tell them you love them, yes, and affirm them, but also get them mentorship so they can be guided by someone they can easily relate with, who they can connect with, and who shares your values. So you don't have to feel overwhelmed that you have to do it alone. And that's it for today. For me, love and affirm your kids regardless of age. Even at my big age, I enjoy it when my parents tell me they love me, who they're proud of me. And as it is written, love covers a multitude of wrongdoing. Bye.